Ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the Most Compassionate. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inu bihi wa nasta'firuh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek refuge in Him, and we seek His help alone. We seek His help from the evils of ourselves, and we seek refuge in Him from all sorts of wicked things. We bear witness that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah, the glorified and the exalted. We bear witness that Muhammad, peace and the praise of Allah be upon him, is Allah's slave and messenger. No, may Allah's mercy be upon you, that Salah is the first act of worship enjoined in Islam after the declaration of the Shahadatan, which the declaration of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, which means that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah, and Muhammad is his true slave and messenger. And that Salah has been ordained by Allah as an obligatory act on every Muslim and Muslim man and Muslim woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَىٰ غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ. In Surah 17, Ayah 17:8, and establish regular prayer from midday till the darkness of the night, and recite the Quran in the early dawn, that is the early Fajr prayer. In another surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِّ النَّهَارِ وَزُلُفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ, and offer and establish prayer perfectly at the two ends of the day and in some hours of the night. And this includes the five obligatory prayers in Islam, which are Salat al-Fajr, which is the dawn prayer, the midday prayer, which is Salat al-Duhr, Asr, afternoon prayer, and Maghrib, sunset, at the time of sunset, and Isha, the night prayer. Know that as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, As-Salatu Imaduddin, and that إن أول ما ينظر فيه أو ينظر فيه من عمل العبد يوم القيامة الصلاة. Prayer is the first thing that, or the one which will be questioned about on the day of judgment. Prayer is the first thing one will be questioned about on the day of judgment. There are several reasons why prayer has been given this importance. It is really the first step in the onward progress of man, and yet it is also a spiritual force which will help him in all walks of life. Prayer keeps man away from evil and thus enables him to attain the proper worship of his Lord, of Allah, the Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is ever watching everything in the universe, and who said in his book, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, in Surah Taha 14, keep a prayer for my remembrance. Surah 20, Ayah 14, verse 14. And this remembrance not only urges him to do this thing or this, to do certain things that are just on the lip, to utter the name of Allah without reflecting on the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what it really means, and how this praise must manifest itself in action that Allah will be pleased with. And thus, the person paves the way for a great end on the day of judgment. The right development of human faculties and attaining the moral greatness depends upon the purification of man's inner self and the suppression of evil tendencies. And Salah works in this direction. قال تعالى قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى. It means he is successful who purifies himself and remembers the name of Allah, his Rabb, his Lord, and so he prays. This is in Surah Al-A'la, Surah 87, Ayah 15. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. In Surah Al-Ankabut, Surah 29, Ayah 45, it means recite that which has been revealed to you of the book and keep up prayer. Surely prayer keeps one away from the lewdness and the evil. And verily the remembrance of Allah is more important. And Allah knows what you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah in the Ayat 1-3, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. It means, Alif Lam Mim, this is the scripture where of there is no doubt, a guidance for those who ward off evil. This is the scripture meaning the Quran. Those who believe in the unseen and keep up prayer and spend out of what we have given them. This is in Surah 2, Ayah 1 and up till Ayah 3. In this surah, the three requisites of a true Muslim are given. And they are given in a natural order. The first is the belief in the unseen, which is believing in Allah and all that He had ordained to be unseen. Allah who cannot be perceived by the physical eye of man, but whose attributes are known. He is the mighty Allah who is beyond limited human comprehension. And He is the all-knowing, the all-hearing. He knows all things, both secret and open. The second aspect of this ayah, which follows immediately following the belief in the oneness of Allah, is keeping up of prayer. And this shows that the belief in Allah is turned into a realization of His existence by means of prayer, and therefore by submitting to Him through this action, which is a great action in Islam. Salah, prayer in Islam, is a strong unifying force and a manifestation of the whole deen of the religion of Islam. For example, once within the doors of a mosque, every Muslim feels in an atmosphere of equality and love. They all stand shoulder to shoulder. The king along with the poorest subject, the rich with the needy, the white man with the black man, all before their creator, Allah. So it creates, Salah, an atmosphere of brotherhood, equality and love. As well as these lessons are done not only once in a day, but they are done 5 times a day. So it is not a single, there is no single day set apart for worship, but rather it is a daily act and repeated 5 times during each day. So it is made as a part of everyday affairs of man. There is a prayer in the morning before sunrise when a man rises from bed, another just after midday, a third in the afternoon, a fourth just after sunset, and a fifth at night after twilight and before dawn. Thus prayer is the first daily work of a Muslim, as well as it is also the last work of the day. And between these two, there are those prayers during the hours of work. Islam, therefore, doesn't want the believer to be attached wholly to this worldly life and of it to its materialistic aspect. Islam, the attachment has to be constantly for the day of judgment, for the hereafter, and that is the true successful life. And the person preparing for this life has therefore to abide by the ways and means which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for him to follow, so that he will be successful and that he won't be among the losers. The prayer therefore has to be learned and has to be conducted in the way that is or that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore in the way that he had ordained by inspiring this to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Prophet Muhammad is to be followed. And this is the second aspect of the declaration of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. There is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah. And Muhammad, peace be upon him, is to be taken as the true slave and messenger of Allah, followed and obeyed. In this respect, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had taught us how to perform salat. In the authentic hadith related by Imam al-Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ said, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي. Pray as you have seen me pray. Therefore the Prophet ﷺ taught the Muslims then and those who will come up to the Day of Judgment how to perform their prayers in the way that is accepted to Allah. And he is the teacher of the Ummah of Islam. And therefore the Muslim should really look for the way that the Prophet ﷺ conducted his salah and follow him in that respect. The salah, as the Prophet ﷺ explained to us, is composed of two types: the obligatory, the fard, and the sunnah. And the sunnah are voluntary prayers. And the Prophet ﷺ have done both kinds or both types of prayers. The obligatory prayers are five. The five obligatory prayers are Al-Fajr, the dawn prayer. And the dawn prayer is starts, the time of it starts on the morning at dawn and ends at sunrise. And this prayer is composed of two obligatory rak'ah, and we will discuss the meaning of rak'ah and how it is performed. But for you now to remember is that it is composed of two rak'ah. And also these are the two obligatory rak'ah. And associated with it are two sunnah rak'ah, two voluntary prayers. Two rak'ahs of the voluntary prayer, they are called Sunnat al-Fajr, the voluntary prayer of Al-Fajr, and they are also composed of two rak'ahs. And then the second prayer is Al-Dhuhr prayer, and the time for the Dhuhr prayer, or the so-called early afternoon prayer, starts when the sun begins to decline from its zenith and ends when the size of an object, shadow, is equal to the size of the object itself, as the Prophet ﷺ had explained in authentic hadith. And the Dhuhr prayer is composed of four obligatory rak'ahs. And also there are sunnah prayers associated with the Dhuhr prayer, and there are two or four rak'ahs of sunnah prior to the obligatory salah, and then two rak'ahs of the sunnah could be offered also after the performance of the fard of the obligatory Dhuhr prayer. And then the Asr prayer, and the Asr prayer is composed of four obligatory rak'ahs. And this prayer, the Asr prayer, the time of it, of this afternoon or late afternoon prayer, starts when the shadow of something is equal to itself and ends just before sunset. And it is prohibited really to delay any of these prayers, for sure, to delay them from their prescribed time. And it is disliked for the Muslim to delay, especially the Asr prayer, up to the end of its time. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ disliked this, and he remarked that the munafiq, the hypocrite, offered his prayer at this delayed time for the Asr prayer. And then there are the other two prayers, and they are the Maghrib prayer and the Isha prayer. And the Maghrib prayer is composed of three rak'ahs of fard, three obligatory rak'ahs. And two rak'ahs of sunnah may be offered before Salat al-Maghrib. And we know that the two rak'at before Salat al-Maghrib are allowed, and it is related in hadith by Bukhari and Muslim, pray before the Maghrib prayer, and it is also, it had been performed by some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the time for Maghrib prayer or the sunset prayer starts just after sunset and ends when twilight has disappeared. The fifth prayer is Isha prayer, and it is composed of four rak'at of fard followed by two rak'at of sunnah. And this prayer, the time of Isha prayer or the night prayer starts from the disappearance of the twilight and ends just before midnight. And it is advisable to note that there is the sunnah of witr, which the Muslim conducts prior to going to bed, or he may delay it if he wishes to a time before the Fajr prayer and performs this odd numbered prayer. It's called witr prayer. It is a sunnah which the Prophet ﷺ did not leave even during his travel. And these are odd prayers, and they are odd in number, and the Muslim could conduct these prayers, for example, 3 rak'at or 5 rak'at or 7 rak'at. And these are conducted again either prior to going to bed or before Fajr prayer commences. Certainly these fard prayers, the obligatory prayers, must be performed in congregation, in jama'ah, and the place for salah is the mosque. This is the preferred place for prayer of the congregation, prayer is in the mosque. And also, if people, there is no mosque around, the people could perform this congregation prayer on earth itself, because the Prophet ﷺ had said in the authentic hadith, all the earth has been rendered for the Muslims a mosque, meaning pure and clean. This means that wherever a Muslim might be, he can offer his prayer, but the reward of a prayer offered in a mosque is far greater. In fact, one hadith by the Prophet ﷺ mentioned it by 27 times greater than that offered in an ordinary place. And it also has to be reminded here that the congregation prayer is a must and obligatory except when two conditions apply. Number one is sickness, and the second is fear. These are the two conditions which permit the person not to attend a prayer in congregation. The place of prayer should be clean and pure, and salah in a dirty, and filthy, and impure place, such as rubbish tip, slaughterhouse, or bathing place, or camel pen, for example, is forbidden. The place should be free from danger. The danger should be due to someone or something that may disturb the worshipper or the slave of Allah. A prayer place where the worshipper might hinder movement or others should be avoided. For example, busy pavements, public roadways, etc. And also it's forbidden to pray on top or facing towards a grave. And the salah has, the person conducting the salah has to dress in a certain manner. The men's dress should be such that it covers from the navel to the knee at least, and the shoulders should not be left uncovered. Salah can be prayed in one garment if it covers the body from the navel to the knees as well as the shoulders. The Prophet ﷺ explained, none of you must pray in a single garment over which no part comes over the shoulder. This is in Bukhari and Muslim. As far as the woman is concerned, the dress of the woman should be such that it covers her whole body from head to toe or from head to feet, leaving only the face and the hands uncovered. A prayer offered in transparent clothing is not bad. Also, tight-fitting clothing which shows the shape of the body should be avoided. Now, the salah cannot be valid in any way unless the Muslim is pure. And the state of purity has been also described and detailed by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained in his book saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَاغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلِكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. All you who believe, when you prepare for prayer, wash your face and your hands and arms to the elbows, rub your head with water, and wash your feet to the ankles. This is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 5, Surah 5, Ayah 7. The Prophet ﷺ said in authentic hadith related by Al-Bukhari, Muslim and others, the prayer of anyone of you preaching purification is not accepted unless he makes wudu. And this is the issue that we want to explain now. The wudu. What does really the wudu mean? Wudu is using clean and cleansing to hold water, pure water, upon certain body or certain body part as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed and explained. This is the meaning of wudu in Islamic terms. And the Prophet ﷺ had explained to us the importance of this wudu in many, and it's also in its version, in many ahadith, in many narrations. In one of them, for example, the Prophet ﷺ said, verily I have been ordered to make wudu when I stand for prayer. This is an authentic hadith, as it is related by Abu Dawood, al-Tirmidhi, and who said it is Hasan Sahih, and also al-Nisa'i, and Sheikh al-Albani declared it as a sahih hadith, an authentic hadith. Also, the Prophet ﷺ explained in another hadith that when the Muslim or the believing slave of Allah makes wudu and washes his face, then the sin of everything he looked at with his eye comes away with the water, or with the last drop of the water. And when he washes his hands, then the sin of everything he stretched out his hands to comes away with the water, or to comes away with the water. I repeat, and when he washes his hands, then the sin of everything he stretched out his hands to comes away with the water, or with the last drop of the water. And when he washes his feet, every sin which his feet walk towards comes away with the water, or with the last drop of the water, so that he leaves clean, clear, pure from sin. This hadith is reported by Muslim and by others. Furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ said, when one of you makes wudu and makes it well, then goes out to the mosque having no purpose except salah, prayer, then his left foot continues to wipe away his evil deeds, and his right foot continually writes for him good deeds until he enters the mosque. And if the people knew what there was in the night prayer and the subh fajr prayer, then they would come to them even if they had to call. This also indicates the compulsory aspect of the jama'ah prayer, that it has to, of salah, that it has to be conducted in jama'ah, in congregation. These are just a few of many ahadith, narrations by the Prophet ﷺ about wudu and about the importance of being clean before standing for salah. The salah is nullified if the person is not clean. He did not conduct his ablution in the way prescribed by the Prophet ﷺ. How to perform the wudu? Making first of all intention. The person has to make intention, which is called niyyah, intention. Before starting the actions of wudu, it is necessary to make niyyah. And making the niyyah is to make it for the purpose of purity, of performing the wudu itself. And this resolve is in the heart, because it is an action of the heart, and it is not an action of the tongue, and therefore it must not be uttered. And the niyyah by words is not approved by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then, after having this resolve in the heart, the niyyah, the intention, the person starts wudu by saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most compassionate, or most merciful. And the action for performing the wudu, the ablution, continues as this. Number one, washing the hands. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is to wash the hands up to the wrist, making sure that no part of the hand is left dry. And the Prophet ﷺ had done or washed his hands 3 times. And he ﷺ was seen by his companions performing this. In a hadith narrated by Abu Hurairah, said, one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ said, that the Messenger of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when one of you makes or awakes from sleep, then let him not enter his hand into the bowel or vessel until he washes it 3 times, as he does not know where his hand has spent the night. This hadith is related by Al-Bukhari, Muslim, and it is therefore an authentic hadith. Also, in other hadith also it has been narrated that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam poured out water from the bowl or from the bowl upon his hand and washed it 3 times. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, and it has been related by Abdullah ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu. So the washing of the hands up to the wrist, making sure that no part of the hand is left dry. Then it is followed by rinsing the mouth, making or taking water in the right hand and putting it in the mouth, washing the mouth and moving the water around in the mouth and then expelling it out. This is called al-madmada. And Abdullah bin Zayd al-Ansari said, it was said to him, perform for us the wudu of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he called for a pot of water until he said, so he washed his mouth and nose with a single handful and did that 3 times. And did that 3 times, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith is narrated in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And washing the nose with this single handful of water is to take the water into the nose and breathing it into its backmost part and then expelling it out with the left hand. The breathing of it inside is called istinshaq, and istinzar is expelling it out after breathing it in. In washing them out, in one hadith related by Amr ibn Yahya said, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam washed his mouth and nose using 3 handfuls of water, taking each single handful, washing the mouth and the nose of course with it. So the second action therefore following the hands is washing the mouth and nose each by a single handful of water 3 times as a total. And to clean the nose is to sniff part of the water up to the right palm and then eject water with the to sniff water up from the right palm and then eject water with the left hand. And then comes the washing of the face. Then comes washing of the face. And the washing of the face, which is called al-wajh, is determined and is determined by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, Hamran ibn Abban narrates that Uthman radiallahu anhu called for water to make wudu, and so mentioned the way in which the Prophet ﷺ made wudu. And Hamran said, then he, meaning the Prophet ﷺ, washed his face 3 times. This is in Al-Bukhari and in Muslim. And also, while washing the face, the Prophet ﷺ used to run his wet fingers through his beard. And in one hadith, which is authenticated, which is narrated by Abu Dawood, Al-Bayhaqi, Al-Hakim, and authenticated by Sheikh Al-Albani, it is related that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, this is what my Lord, my Rabb, the great and exalted, has ordered me to do. Meaning, to take a handful of water and enter it below his chin and drop it through the beard. This is how he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did. And therefore, while washing the face, the Muslim washes the beard with his fingers. When they are, of course, they have to be wet. This is washing the face. So I repeat now, washing the hands up to the wrist is number one, three times. Also rinsing the mouth and nose three times with water. Then washing the face three times. And running water through the beard with the fingers. Then washing the forearms, the right forearm first, up to and including the elbows, making sure that no part of them is left dry. No part has to be left dry. In a hadith related by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, quote, washed his right arm, including the elbow, three times, then he left in the same, or then they left in the same way. And in some cases, the Prophet ﷺ even increased washing his hands way above the elbow, as narrated by Abu Huraira, who made wudu and showed this kind of washing which the Prophet ﷺ had done. But if the Muslim performs it up and including the elbow, then this is suffice. So, washing the forearms, right forearm first, up to and including the elbows, making sure that no part of them is left dry. Then, from the remainder of the water that's still on the hand, the Muslim rubs the head as follows. And this is as described in some authentic narrations of the Prophet ﷺ, this is to wet the fingers or take the hand itself, which is wet, from the remainders of the water, from the remainder of the water used to wash the forearm, and go and wipe the head with the fingers starting from the forehead, taking them to the nape of the neck, then bringing them back to the forehead. This is about washing the head. It is therefore permissible to wash or to wipe the head with the water remaining from that of the arms after washing them. And this is according to one authentic hadith related by Abu Dawood and others. Also, he could wash with these wet fingers, with the same wet fingers, could wash his ears, and he has to wash his ears because the ears are part of the head, as reported in one authentic hadith by the Prophet ﷺ. The two ears are part of the head. This hadith is reported by Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, and Ibn Majah, and Shaykh Al-Albani said it is sahih, meaning authentic. Washing, therefore, wiping the head and the ears, since the ears are part of the head, with what remains from the water that was used to wash the right and left arms. And the way of wiping, as narrated by Abdullah bin Umar, he said that the Prophet ﷺ wiped his head and entered his two finger or four fingers into his ears and wiped the backs of his ears with his thumbs. This hadith is reported by Abu Dawood and Nisa'i Ibn Majah and authenticated by Ibn Khuzaymah. Washing the feet and ankles. Wash the feet, right foot first, up to the ankles, including the ankles of course, making sure that no parts of the feet are left dry, especially between the toes. The Prophet ﷺ, in one authentic hadith related by Bukhari and Muslim, washed his right foot to the ankle three times and then his left foot to the ankle three times. And the Prophet ﷺ also had said that complete the wudu and wipe between the asabi'ah, the fingers and or toes of the feet, meaning. And this is also an authentic hadith related by Abu Dawood, Al-Tirmidhi, Al-Nisa'i, and Ibn Majah Al-Hakim, and Al-Albani said it is an authentic hadith, hadith sahih.
So when washing the ankles, it is to be reminded that the Prophet ﷺ warned that the ankles had themselves have to be wiped with water, washed with water, because in one authentic hadith he said, "Woe to the ankles from the fire." Woe to the ankles from the fire. I relate this hadith. I convey this hadith to you, and it is related by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, who said that Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fell behind us and then came upon us during a journey. Then we found him, and it was time for Asr, so we began to make wudu, ablution, and wipe over our feet. So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam called out at the top of his voice, "Woe to the ankles from the fire." Two or three times. This hadith is related by Bukhari and Muslim. So there is a warning here. Make sure that the ankles have to be washed and not to be left to dry. And this constitutes the actions of wudu. There are situations where rubbing the socks with wet hands instead of washing the feet is allowed, provided that the socks have been put on after performing wudu, after ablution, including, of course, washing the feet. And this is allowed for 24 hours from the time of ablution for people who are in residence, not traveling, and for 3 days if the person is on a journey. After this time, the feet must be washed. Similarly, if there is a wound in any part of the body which has to be washed in ablution, and if washing that particular part is likely to cause harm, it is permissible to wipe the dressing of the wound with a wet hand.
There are circumstances when water cannot be found, or just enough, for example, of it is available for drinking, or in the case it is injurious to health. In such situations, dry ablution, which is called tayammum, can be performed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordained this in the Quran by saying, وَإِن كُنْتُم مَرْضَى وَعَلَى سَفَرٍ أَوْ جَاءَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُم مِّنَ الْغَائِطِ أَوْ لَامَسْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَمْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ مِنْهِ. And if you find no water, then betake yourself to pure dust and wipe therewith, or from clean earth, or sandy, and rub it on your face and hands. Allah does not wish to put it, or to put you in a difficulty, but He wants to make you clean and to complete His favor unto you, so you should be grateful to Him. This is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, and Surah Al-Ma'idah is Surah 5, Ayah 6. And the procedure to make tayammum is as follows. Make niyyah, make intention in the heart, and begin with the name of Allah, Bismillah, striking both palms of hand on clean sand, dust, or anything containing these, example, a wall or a stone, etc. Then blow into the palm. Pass the palms of both hands over the face once, and then rub your right hand with the left palm, and left hand with the right palm. This hadith has been related by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. This is the manner which the Prophet ﷺ had explained the tayammum. And all acts of tayammum, when done according to the sunnah, are right for, constitute the right ablution, and therefore the person could proceed to perform salah, the prayer. There are things that have to be remembered when one finishes his wudu or his tayammum. And this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is to make invocation upon Allah, to make dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remembering Him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do this after finishing wudu. And one of his sayings is that, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المتطهرين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المتطهرين. I testify that there is no deity worthy of being worshipped except Allah alone, and I testify that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم
is his slave and messenger. O Allah, make me among those who are penitent, and make me among those who are purified. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do it following ablution. Also the person could perform this or say it after tayammum. Having known now ablution, inshallah we proceed to know what invalidates ablution, because it's essential to be clean and purified for prayer, and therefore one should know what invalidates the ablution. That is those things which break your wudu. Number one, anything that comes out from the two private parts, the front or the back. We know that, for example, the discharge of urine or discharge of solid waste, and also the discharge of semen, and discharge of blood from these places invalidate the wudu, invalidate the ablution itself. Also, breaking wind invalidates the ablution. The second thing that invalidates ablution is to be out of one's senses because of madness, fainting for example, unconsciousness, intoxication, sound, sleep, etc. All invalidate wudu. Also, throwing up on purpose invalidates wudu. To touch the private parts of the body without a barrier, the penis, vulva, anus, etc., with the palm and without any barrier, invalidates the wudu. Also, to touch the body of a woman with desire, invalidates the wudu. And a man or woman must be safe from anything being emitted which breaks wudu. If they touch without any discharge of the semen or emitting of the semen, then their wudu is not broken. But it's preferable to be on the safe side and not to indulge in these touches, so that the person be safe from such emission in condition that the desire arises. And Allah knows best regarding this subject. So in any case, the ablution will be invalidated due to these reasons that we mentioned, and one is therefore permitted to renew his wudu, perform a new ablution, and be ready for the prayer. It has to be mentioned that here, in any actual sexual intercourse between a man and his wife, then a whole bath has to be taken, and this is called ghusl. And ghusl is compulsory to take it when there is an ejaculation of semen due therefore to sexual excitement, or to wet dreams also is included. Sexual intercourse even without ejaculation of semen, if the person enters his penis into the vagina of his wife and without ejaculating the semen itself, then his ablution is invalidated. Also, for women after termination of their hayd, which is the menstruation period, and also after the cessation of bleeding resulting from childbirth, which is called nifas. As far as how ghusl is performed, the Muslim conducts it in the way the Prophet ﷺ used to perform the ghusl. Number one, intend by heart to perform ghusl, the whole bath, and to wash both hands up to the wrists, included of course the elbows, up to the wrists for three times, and wash the sex organs properly, perform wudu as usual in the manner already discussed and explained earlier. Next.
perform the wudu as usual in the manner already discussed, except that the washing of the feet would be delayed until later when all the rest of the body is bathed. And pour water over the head 3 times, massaging the hair to allow water to reach its roots. And then pour water liberally over the entire body, beginning with the right side and then the left side, ensuring that no part of the body is untouched by water, such as the armpits, inside the ear loops, inside the navel, between the fingers and toes, etc. And finally move a little further from where you were and wash your feet, beginning with your right foot and then the left. As far as women are concerned, a woman will perform ghusl just as the man does, except that if she has plaited hair, she needs to undo it. I'm sorry, she needs not undo it. She only needs to throw 3 handfuls of water over her head. And the person may, after completing the ghusl, do the wudu, do the prayer as normal. Well, while the person, those who are required to perform ghusl, are forbidden to, they should remember that they are forbidden to undertake certain acts. Number one, all types of prayer, whether obligatory or voluntary, are prohibited upon them until they perform their ghusl. Circulating the Kaaba in tawaf is also prohibited. Touching or carrying the Holy Quran is also prohibited. And staying inside the mosque is also prohibited. Two things I have to mention that are related to the aspect of wudu, the ratio of wudu, is that making wudu after eating camel's meat. Jabir ibn Sumra radiallahu anhu relates that a man asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Shall I make wudu because of the meat of sheep?" And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "If you wish, make wudu, and if you wish, then don't make wudu." He said, "Should I make wudu from the meat of the camel?" He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, "Yes, make wudu from the meat of the camel." He asked, "May I pray in sheep then?" He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, or said, "Yes." He asked, "May I pray in the stalls of camel?" He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No." This hadith is reported by Muslim. And also that there is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that takes place before making wudu, and that is using the siwak, which is a form of a toothbrush. And the siwak is taken from a tree called the arak tree, and in which the person brushes his mouth, he takes it and brushes his teeth with it. And the siwak, as I said, comes from a known tree called the arak tree, and it is the best of trees whose twigs are used for brushing the teeth. And so it is, these two sticks are taken from its twigs and roots, and the best part is that it comes from its roots. And the Prophet made it desirable to use the siwak at many different times, as it is established by him, and he used the siwak at every prayer, and before reading the Quran, and before sleeping, and when walking, and when the breath changes, whether fasting or not, or whether at the start of the day or in the afternoon. And it is a form of worship which is easily done and easy to observe. So the Muslim could really perform it and hence accept or gain the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will summarize now the points about wudu. Number one, intention, and that has to be in the heart. And then saying Bismillah, in the name of Allah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Washing the hands 3 times after the wrist, making sure that no part of the hands is left dry. Rinsing the mouth and nose 3 times, taking up water with the right hand, sniffing water up from the right palm, and then ejecting water with the left hand. Washing the face 3 times from ear to ear and forehead to chin, making sure that no part of the face is left dry. And wash the forearms, right forearm first, up to the elbows, making, including the elbows, making sure that no part of them is left dry. Rubbing the head and by taking your fingers and then wipe the head with your fingers, starting from the forehead, taking them to the nape of the neck, then bring them back to the forehead once. Clean the ears by inserting the tips of the index fingers wetted with water into the ears. Twist them around the folds of the ears and pass the thumb behind the ears from the bottom upwards. Wash the feet right foot first up and including the ankles, making sure that no parts of the feet are left dry, especially between the toes. And now the Muslim is ready to perform his salah, his prayer. And the prayer will proceed as follows. Number one, the person who prays, whether or whoever he or she is, should direct his or her face somebody towards the holy Kaaba, which is called the Qibla. And wherever he is in this world, he should face towards the Qibla when he's going to pray. And the Qibla is the Kaaba is the sacred mosque of Mecca in Arabia. And this is a very important condition of salah, of prayer. And he should intend in the depth of his mind, in his heart, the particular prayer that he's about to perform. Whether it is one of the five obligatory prayers or the voluntary ones, the sunnah one. The intention should be, as we discussed earlier, should be in the heart and not pronounced. And facing the Qibla is among the essential conditions of the prayer, save in circumstantial or circumstances where there are certain exceptions, the details of which will be learned later by the new Muslim who wants to further gain more knowledge about this subject. The person should turn, then start the prayer with takbir by saying Allahu Akbar. And the person hearing this tape should start now practicing these statements as they come up in Arabic. Allahu Akbar, takbir, which means Allah is the greatest. His eyes should be directed towards the place of prostration. He should make sure to have what is known as an object called sutra in front of him, in front of the place where he is going to prostrate, put his head down on it, on earth. And this sutra is an object whereby the Muslim puts it when he's praying alone. And if he's praying in congregation, those five obligatory prayers where they must be prayed in congregation, the imam himself, the leader of the prayer, is the sutra to the rest of the rows who stand behind him. So individually, the person who performs the prayer should put a sutra if he is praying his sunan prayers or if he is traveling. And a person passing in front of the person in prayer should pass on the outside of the sutra. So there he goes, standing up with intention in his heart about the particular prayer he's making. He's having his sutra, and or his imam is his sutra in the congregation praying, saying takbir Allahu Akbar. When pronouncing the takbir, he or she should raise both hands, bringing them to the levels of his or her shoulders or ears. He or she should then place both hands on his or her chest. The right hand is to be placed on the left hand, affixing the wrist and arm, as was reported by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Immediately after the takbir, it is a sunnah, a tradition of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to say an opening dua, invocation, which reads in Arabic. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك. I repeat, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك. Glory be to you, O Allah, and all praises are due unto you, and blessed is your name, and high is your majesty, and none is worthy of being worshipped except you, Allah. And there are also different invocations quoted from the Prophet, any one of which can be said on this occasion, and the Muslim, as he learns Salah, can pick any of them also and use it. And it's desirable to use different invocations alternatively, for it leads to perfection in the pursuance of the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After opening the invocation the person says a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek Allah's protection from Satan the devil, who is cursed. Then he says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most kind and the most merciful. And this should be said in every rak'ah before reciting the Quran or the first part of the Quran that will be recited, and that's called Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening chapter of the Quran. So he says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Then he recites the Quran of Surah Al-Fatiha. The Prophet ﷺ said, one who has not recited the opening surah of this holy book of the Quran, meaning it's called Al-Fatiha, is to be concluded, has not performed the prayer. One who has not recited the opening surah of the holy book has not performed the prayer. And the Al-Fatiha is to be concluded by saying Ameen aloud in over prayers and by whispers or whispering tones in silent prayer. And what is Surah Al-Fatiha? This has to be memorized. It says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. You could repeat it during this silent period. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين Ameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen means praise is only due for Allah, the Rabb of the universe, the most kind, the most merciful, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most kind, the most merciful, Malik Yawm al-Din, the master of the day of judgment, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'een, you alone we worship, and to you alone we pray for help and seek it. Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqeem, show us the straight way. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم, the way of those whom you have blessed. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, who have not deserved, the way of those whom you have blessed, who have not deserved your anger nor gone astray. Ameen. Reciting this Fatiha is very important because the Prophet ﷺ said that no prayer was acceptable without the recitation of Al-Fatiha. The Muslim then should recite from the verses of the Quran which he is able to do without any strain. In accordance with the traditions of the Prophet ﷺ, it's desirable to recite in Dhuhr, Asr and Isha prayer the medium-sized surahs of the last part of the Quran known as Al-Mufassal. In the Fajr prayer, the longer surahs, and in the Maghrib prayer, the shorter one. The Muslim should start learning first Al-Fatiha, then it is good for him to recite and memorize those short surahs, and gradually growing to recite and memorize those longer surahs. Then, when the recital of the verses of the Quran is over, the Muslim should perform ruku', which is raising both hands to the level of the shoulders or ears, and then bowing forward, placing the hands on respective knees, fingers spread. He or she should pause on this position for a while and say, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Three times as it's said. Praise be to my Lord, the most glorious. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. It is also desirable to say, Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Allahumma ghfir li. Glory be to you Allah, and praise O Allah, forgive me. Note here that the Fajr, Maghrib and Isha prayer are over prayers in which the Al-Fatiha and the ensuing Quranic verses or surahs are to be recited by the Imam aloud, so that the people in the prayers can hear them. They are called the Ma'moom, those who are praying behind the Imam. So the Ma'mooms can hear those when they are recited as they should be loudly. In Dhuhr and Asr prayer, however, the recital is to be done in silence. then he or she should raise his or her head and stand upright, raising both hands towards his shoulders or ears as before, and saying, in the case of an individual prayer or the imam, in the case saying, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ. May Allah hear those who praise Him. May Allah hear those who praise Him. The Muslim could perform more than one type of dua, which had been confirmed by the Prophet ﷺ during this standing position. For example, the Muslim may say, رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدُ, Our Rabb, all the praises be to you. O Rabbana, laka alhamdu hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. O our Rabb, all praises be to you. Very many pure and blessed praises be to you. Or other forms of this dua, or other forms of dua which had been confirmed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Following the qiyam position, the Muslim should go for what is known as sujood, prostration position, by saying Allahu Akbar, making sujood by saying now Allahu Akbar, and that while he is going for sujood, he puts his palms downwards on the ground, and the knees should be brought downwards on the ground too. His fingers and toes should be pointing towards Qibla without spreading the fingers of the hands. During this sujood, prostration position, seven parts of the body should touch the ground. Forehead along with the tip of the nose, both hands, both knees, the bottom surface of the toes of both feet. In this position, he should say, Subhana Rabbiya Al-A'la, Subhana Rabbiya Al-A'la. He should say this, Subhana Rabbiya Al-A'la, or Subhana Rabbiya Al-A'la wa bihamdi. Also, it is permissible to say that. He says this three times. He could also make dua during sujood, and there are many versions of dua during sujood. For example, he may say, Allahumma ghfir li zambi kulla, Allahumma ghfir li zambi kulla, dibqahu wa jilla, أوله وآخره وعلانيته وسره. I repeat, اللهم اغفر لي ذنبي كله دقه وجله أوله وآخره وعلانيته وسره. O Allah, forgive all my sins, minor ones and major ones, ones I committed previously and ones I commit in the future, ones I commit openly and ones I commit secretly. And there is jalsa, there is, after performing one sajda perfectly and calmly, the person praying should raise his head from sujood saying, Allahu Akbar, bending the left foot and sitting on it while keeping the right foot propped up with its toes pointing towards the Qibla. The palms of his hands should rest on his thighs and knees. The back should be straight so that the joints go back in place. It is sunnah to pay to say the following dua also while sitting in between these two sajda. Ad-dua, Allahumma ghfirli warhamni wahdini wa'afini warzuqni wajbirni wajburni warfa'ni. Allahumma ghfirli warhamni wahdini wa'afini warzuqni wajburni warfa'ni. O Allah, forgive me and have mercy on me and keep me on the right path and keep me healthy and provide me with the halal sources of living, the permissible sources of living, and complete my shortcomings and make my rank high. This is the end of the first sujood, the first prostration. And then the Muslim should perform the second sujood saying, Allahu Akbar, and repeat what he had did or what he did in the first sajda. So the second sujood must be performed in the same manner as in the first one. Raising from the sujood, he should say the takbir, saying Allahu Akbar, and pause for a short while in a sitting position, just as was done between the two prostrations. This sitting, called the sitting of rest, is considered mustahab, desirable, and no invocation or praise is to be said during this pause. He or she then, following the sujood, should stand upright for the second rak'ah, to come up with the second rak'ah, supporting on his or her knees if possible, or on the ground in case of difficulty. In the second ruku', he should recite Surah Al-Fatiha and other verses, other ayat from the Quran, or other surahs from the Quran, other chapters, and do the same acts as in the first ruku'. In those prayers that constitute two rak'ah, such as Fajr and Jum'ah prayer, which is the Friday prayer, which is composed also of two rak'ah, which is the congregational weekly prayer of Friday, and then the prayers of the two festivities, the two Islamic festivities known as the Eid, Eid al-Fitr, which comes right after Ramadan, celebrating the end of the month of Ramadan, and then also on the 10th of the 12th month of the Islamic calendar, the day of sacrifice, following the called the Eid al-Adha, the Eid of al-Adha, the festivity of sacrifice. In those, all of them, the ruku' is composed of two rak'ah. The Muslim should sit up upon the completion of the two rak'ah, spreading the left foot and keeping the right foot upright on the toes. The right hand should be placed on the right thigh, all fingers closed except the index finger, which is to be pointed forward and with movement and straight moving to indicate the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person enduring this position, he should say what is called at-tashahud. He should say at-tashahud. And at-tashahud follows therefore the last sajda of the second rak'ah, the last prostration of the second ruku', and the person should raise his he should pronounce silently to himself the following: At-tahiyyatu lillah. So he reads At-tahiyyatu lillah, was-salawatu, was-tayyibatu, as-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, as-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi as-salihin, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. This is known as التشهد, and this is the complete form of التشهد, which translates all compliments, all physical prayer, and all monetary worship are for Allah. Peace be upon you, O Prophet Muhammad, and all and Allah's mercy and blessings be upon you. Peace be on us and all righteous slaves of Allah. I bear witness that no one is worthy of worship except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and messenger. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, meaning, O Allah, send grace and honor on Muhammad and on the family and true followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just as you send grace and honor on Ibrahim and on the family and true followers of Ibrahim, surely you are praiseworthy, the great. O Allah, send your blessing on Muhammad and the true followers of Muhammad, just as you send blessings on Ibrahim and his true followers, surely you are praiseworthy, the great. So while reading at tashahud, a person raised the index finger of his right hand and straight forward, keep it to the direction of Qibla, and moves it while reciting the tashahhud, and keeps it straight while moving it. A person, and it moves up and down in a straight manner. A person praying two rak'ah, a person praying therefore two rak'ah, ends up by reading this tashahhud, and then following this tashahhud, the Muslim makes dua, invocation, which says, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azab al-qabr, wa a'udhu bika min fitnati al-dajjal, wa a'udhu bika min fitnati al-mahya wal-mamat. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ma'sam wal-maghrab. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the punishment of the grave, and I seek refuge in you from the troubles of al-dajjal, the false Christ, and I seek refuge in you from the difficulties and troubles of the life and death. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from every kind of sin and unexpected trouble. Following these two rak'ah, the Muslim ends the prayer for those two rak'ah prayers by making taslim, and this goes like follows. He turns his face first to the right and says assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and then to the left, and in both times the face turns over the shoulder. So he turns right, says assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah over his shoulder, and then turns left and says assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This taslim ends the two rak'ah prayers, for example in the case of the Fajr prayer, and in case of all the sunnah prayers that are composed of two rak'ah. Now if the prayer consists of three rak'ahs or more, or three rak'ahs as in Maghrib, and four rak'ahs as Dhuhr, Asr and Isha, then after finishing the second rak'ah, he reads the tashahhud, and he completes this and goes up, supported on his knees, raises his both hands towards the shoulders or ears, and says, Allahu Akbar. Then he should place the hand on the chest as mentioned previously and recite Al-Fatiha. This is for the third rak'ah. The similar thing goes after finishing the third rak'ah, he goes up again and recites the Fatiha for the fourth rak'ah. And the end of these four rak'ah is by the taslim, which means after finishing the tashahhud, he turns right and says assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and turns left and says assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, in both cases over his shoulder. And after the salam, after the taslim, he says astaghfirullah al-azim, repeating it three times, and astaghfirullah, saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, Allah, I ask you forgiveness. And he repeats this three times. And then he also says, Allahumma anta as-salam, wa minka as-salam, tabarakta, ya dhal jalali wal ikram. This is another dua that has been confirmed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it says, O Allah, you are the peace, and you are the source of peace, you are blessed, O possessor of glory and honor. And then he goes, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. I repeat, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. O Allah, help me to remember you all the time and to thank you and to worship you perfectly. Then, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت. ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. There is no God, no true God but Allah. He is the only one and has no partner. Sovereignty and praise are only for Him, and He has full authority over everything. Nobody can prevent whatever you want to give, and nobody can give whatever you want to prevent. And a person with high rank cannot benefit himself or another from his high rank against your will. These are some of the invocations that the Muslim conducts at the end of his prayer, of his salah. He follows that by saying Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times, and he ends saying لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. I repeat, he ends saying لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. There is no true God but Allah. He is the one and only true God. He has no partner. His is the dominion and the kingdom, and to Him alone is the praise. He has power over all things. It is also recommended that the Muslim recite one ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, and this is Ayat Al-Kursi. Ayat Al-Kursi. And the ayah recites as follows: Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ardi man dhalladhi yashfa'u 'indahu إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. Allah la ilaha illa hu, none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, the ever-living, the one who sustains and protects all that exists. Neither slumber nor sleep overtake him. To him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on earth. Who is he that can intercede with him except with his permission? He knows what happens to them, his creatures in this world, and what will happen to them in the hereafter. And they will never compass anything of his knowledge except that which he wills. His kursi extends over the heavens and the earth, and he feels no fatigue in guarding and preserving them, and he is the most high, the most great. This is Ayat al-Kursi, and the kursi literally means a footstool or a chair, and sometimes wrongly translated as throne. The kursi mentioned in this verse should be distinguished from the arsh, the throne, the arsh of Allah. And it is known that the kursi magnitude is great, but the magnitude of the arsh is much greater than that. In one authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reported to have said, the seven heavens by the side of the kursi are not but as a ring thrown down in a desert land. And such is the kursi with respect to the arsh, to the throne. This hadith is quoted by Sheikh Nasruddin al-Albani in his chain of authentic narration, hadith number 109 of volume 1 of his chain or his silsila of authentic narration. The Muslim also may, following his prayer, he may recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, which is Surah 112 of the Quran, and Surah Al-Falaq, which is Surah 113, and Surah An-Nas, which is Surah 114. And these three surahs may be repeated three times after the prayer of Fajr and Maghrib. And Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah 112, reads as follows. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Say, O Muhammad, He is Allah, the one and only true God. Allahu samad. Allah as-samad. The self-sufficient master whom all creatures need. He neither eats nor drinks. لم يلد ولم يولد, he begat not, nor was he begotten. ولم يكن له كفوا أحد, and there is none co-equal or comparable unto him. In Surah 113, Surah Al-Falaq, the daybreak, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قل أعوذ برب الفلق, say I seek refuge with Allah the Lord, the Rabb of the daybreak, Al-Falaq, من شر ما خلق, from the evil of what he has created, ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب, and from the evil of the darkening night as it comes with its darkness, or the moon as it sets or goes away. وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ, and from the evil of the witchcraft when they blow in the month. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ, and from the evil of the envier when he envies. Surah Al-Nas, Surah 114, the Surah of Mankind, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. قل أعوذ برب الناس, say I seek refuge with Allah the Rabb of mankind, ملك الناس the king of mankind, إله الناس the إله the God of mankind that deserves to be worshipped alone, من شر الوسواس الخناس, from the evil of the whisperer devil who whispers evil in the hearts of men, who withdraws from his whispering in one's heart after one remembers Allah. الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ, who whispers in the breasts of mankind, مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ, of jinns and men. And jinns are created beings, and created and unseen beings, they are created from fire. Therefore he says these surahs, and this is optional, but it is good for the Muslim to start working on getting these invocations and these surahs, the citations of them, right on his tongue, and to do them in accordance with the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he will or she will gain a great deal of reward by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most verified he is. As far as the other non-obligatory prayers, the sunan prayers, and these are the ones which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regularly performed, it is better to perform them at home, because this was the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Though if they are done in the mosque, it is not prohibited to do them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in fact, the best of a person's prayer is what he performs at home, except the compulsory one. And performing those sunan is one of the paths that lead to al-Jannah, to paradise, as it is understood from the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever prays 12 rak'ahs voluntarily during a day and a night, Allah will build for him a house in al-Jannah, in paradise. This hadith is reported by Muslim. And this is, in short, the major subject or issues related to the performance of the prayer. There remain general recommendations that the person should be aware of. Number one, as far as the purification for the new Muslim, after he declares the Shahada and performs his ghusl, complete bath, he should be aware of some important things related to his tahara, to his purification. He should not stand urinating, because this splashes urine on the body, and the Prophet ﷺ informed us that part of the torture of the grave is because of splashing of urine on people's bodies. So be aware of that, and the practice is to sit while urinating, and this way you will prevent the impurification of your clothes. At the same time, he should not really put on the old clothes that he had, meaning the underwear. This underwear may be wet with urine, or maybe have some dirt on it from his previous use. So So it is better for him to have a new underwear to put on. And a new garment also is available. But any clean garment that he has is fine. Having said that, we move again here back to the Salah and say that there are certain issues where perhaps there are certain times when the person may forget certain things in his Salah or add to his Salah. Then he has to come up with a compensation for this. And this compensation is called sujood al-sahw. For example, the person may add certain things to his Salah. And if he finishes doing these additives to the Salah, then, and he remembers that, then he should come up with sujood al-sahw after the taslim, making two prostrations after the taslim from his Salah, the normal taslim, and then following these two sujood, he should make salam alaykum to the right and salam alaykum to the left, meaning the another taslim. But if he remembers the addition to his Salah right away, then, or while he is in it, then he shouldn't come up with the forgetfulness, the sujood of forgetfulness. So he immediately stops what he's doing from an increment to his Salah and then continues as normal. But if he has finished this addition to his Salah, then he has only to come up with the prostration of sujood al-sahw. And then if he omits any of his Salah, then he should come up with sujood al-sahw before the normal taslim in Salah. Before he makes taslim in Salah, then he should make his two sujood of sahw, and then make salam alaykum wa rahmatullah to the left and salam alaykum wa rahmatullah salam alaykum wa rahmatullah to the right and then to the left. That is making taslim. If he doubts anything in salah, that if he doubts the number of rak'ah, did he pray two or three, then in this case he's between two situations. The first situation, he is able to remember most likely that it is the third rak'ah, for example. Then he completes his salah and then makes taslim and then makes sujood al-sahw after his normal taslim. But if he is unable to make any kind of he doesn't really think that it is likely to be the third rak'ah at all, he doesn't have any indication whatsoever that it may be the third rak'ah, in this case then he should build up on the least, meaning he considers himself being in the second rak'ah rather than the third rak'ah, and then he comes up with a prostration before the end of the salah. He comes with prostration of sahw before the end of the salah. And also, if he forgets, for example, making the normal taslim in salah, and he remembers this right away, like 5 minutes after he finishes his salah, then he should come up with sujood al-sahw and make taslim. But if he remembers this way after performing that particular salah, then he should repeat it as a whole. And if he forgets the tashahud, the first tashahud in salah, meaning, you know, if he's in four rak'ah prayer, he has to perform a tashahud after the second rak'ah. If he forgets that, then he should also make sujood al-sahw before salam, before the end of the salah, he should come up with sujood al-sahw. But if intentionally and on purpose the person makes taslim before the end of the salah, then his salah is nullified. And also, if he adds to it or commits from it anything on purpose, then it is also nullified. And if he does not do takbirat al-ihram, then he has no salah, no prayer, whether he intentionally or unintentionally has done that. He has to repeat the salah. These are some important notes about sujood al-sahw. Remains to be said something about the prayer of witr, that it could be conducted in odd numbers from 1 to 11 rak'ah. It is recommended to do it 2 and 2 and end up in a single rak'ah. This is in short about salah and what the new Muslim needs to know about it. And in further discussions about prayer, inshallah, will be coming in other or another tape, so that the Muslim understands this whole subject as a whole, inshallah, properly.